Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Välkomna till Rock Bottom!
Här är vi igen, rockpuddingarna, ja. Anders och Erika.
Idag sitter vi på något ställe som känns väldigt hemtamt för mig.
Ja, en turnébuss sitter vi faktiskt i. Men vi sitter inte här med vem som helst.
Nej. Let's say welcome to Gus G.
Gus G in the house! Hey, on tour here in Stockholm for the new album.
Yeah, man. My new album, Fearless, coming out next week. And we are out here playing some shows in Sweden. I would have never thought that the tour would have started here in Sweden, out of all places.
Why?
I don't know why, because, I mean, I've seen you quite a few times, but to be honest, I haven't been playing so much in Sweden, as much as I would have liked to play.
Right.
So it was a nice surprise when Jesper Binzer asked me to open his shows.
Perfect.
And, you know, we're starting here.
Yeah, we had the crazy day and he came up and said hi.
Yeah, exactly. So it's cool. Yeah.
So when was your last gig in Sweden and with what act? Remember?
I have to remember now. Hold on. I think it was Allegiance of Rock.
Allegiance of Rock, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun cover band that we put together with some high
profile. John Norum? John Levin.
Yeah, John Levin. The other John, yeah.
So, the other John from Europe.
Uh-huh. And Anders Johansson.
Right.
Of Hammerfall and Rising Force and all those bands. We have Ronnie Romero, who sings in Richie Blackmore's Rainbow now, the Young Gun. So we did the festival, didn't we? What was it? I think it was
Silia
Rock. Yeah,
so on a boat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was last year.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to since?
Well, since that, I made a new record, a new solo record, obviously.
Yeah, that's coming out.
But
now.
Yeah, but in between, I was touring with my band Firewind. Mm-hmm. Like my main band, so we just finished up a world tour. We were last month in Latin America,
which is a huge market for heavy metal and rock.
It is. I mean, actually, not so much as it used to be, from what I've heard, because now everybody's
like
going
everywhere.
There. Yeah, everybody's going there now nowadays. But it was the first time for us, so it was very exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been there a couple of times with Ozzy, but never with my own band.
How long were you with Ozzy?
Since 2009 up until last year, so 7-8 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how come you ended up there?
I don't know. They found me. They found me online and they emailed me and they asked me to audition.
Yeah.
And I went out to LA and I did the audition and it was great.
Yeah.
And we clicked right away.
Yeah.
You were born in Greece, of course.
Born and raised
in Thessaloniki.
Correct.
The second city.
Correct.
In Sweden, we have a joke fight going on between Stockholm and Gothenburg, because we think they're lesser than us and they think we're just stuck up assholes here, over here in Stockholm. Is it the same in between people in Athens and Thessaloniki?
A little bit, but I think it's mostly for football stuff.
Is it like that? Music?
No, not really. No, in music it's a little bit more of a I don't know. It's a unity actually. I mean, I always got along with all the Athenian musicians and stuff. I don't know. And they, the Athenians really love actually Thessaloniki because it's a smaller city and it's by the water and they love to come out there. And
What was the climate for rock when you grew up in Greece?
You mean like for local scene?
Yeah, yeah. Was there a lot of rock bands going on there?
Not so much, to be honest. It was really hard for me to find musicians from my town to play. There was one death metal band from Thessaloniki that had signed a contract, like with a small Danish label. The band was called Exhumation. And to me back then, that was like unheard of, a band signing a European record deal. So me and the guitar player became good friends because we had the same teacher, guitarist Marius. We actually ended up forming another band later on, a death metal band called Night Rage. That was when I was very young, obviously. So yeah, I did two records with Night Rage.
Because Greece, excuse me, but it's quite an unusual place for rock stars to come from. Name three other international Greek rock stars.
Let's just say Greece is not the mecca of heavy metal.
So name three international Greek rock stars.
Okay.
You're struggling.
Yeah, I am. Demis Roussos.
Yeah, but is he hard rock? No.
No, he's not. No, he was more like
Nanami Skouri.
Schlager.
Nanami Skouri. Jana?
Who's that?
Jana was, she had a couple of hits in the 80s, I think.
Jana was. I don't know.
You don't even know the Greek stars.
My favorite one is Vangelis.
Vangelis, yeah, of course.
He's major.
And really a in his own right. I mean.
And they were part of a 70s prog rock band, Aphrodite's Child. I don't know if you guys know them. Aphrodite's Child.
I've heard the name.
They had this album called 666 back then in the 70s. It's still a very underground gem, okay. Prog rock gem. Yeah,
that's quite early to use 666 in.
It was like
Have to check that out.
Yeah.
So we don't really have to ask you maybe why you left your home country.
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I had this dream as a kid. You know, obviously I knew where the whole stuff was happening. You know, it was in America. So, but funnily enough, when I went to America in the late 90s. It didn't work out for heavy metal so good there. And I found myself in Sweden a few months later.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Swedish scene was blooming a lot back then. I mean, now too, but even back in the late 90s, you know, the bands from Gothenburg, the Gothenburg sound, so to speak, you know. And like I said, remember when I just mentioned this band Exhumation, those friends of mine, they were recording in Gothenburg at Fredman Studio.
Of course, yeah.
So with Fredrik Nordström, so... Mm-hmm. I asked them if I could join them during their recordings and hang out and see what's happening here, because why is everybody talking about Sweden and the Swedish scene? So I came out here actually in the summer of 99.
That was just on the verge when In Flames and everybody was getting started.
Yeah, that's what everything was happening then. So I ended up staying here because me and their producer, Fredrik Nordström, we formed a band.
Uh-huh.
And that band was Dream Evil. And that essentially was... My career start.
So you have very strong ties to Sweden.
I do.
So we'll do this interview in Swedish then.
Yes, let's do it. Let's start over again. Yeah. I do understand a little bit, but I'm not as good as I would like to, because obviously, to be honest, if I end up staying here a few days more, I will probably pick up more. It'll come back to me.
Yeah. They say that if you're good at music, it's easy to learn languages as well.
Maybe, yeah, because you
have an ear for something.
I guess so. I guess so. And I was always good with languages, actually, since I was a kid. And also, it helped that I was traveling since I was a kid. I went to America very young because I had some family visiting there in the summer, spending summertime there. And you know, I came to Sweden when I was 19, so I absorbed a lot of the culture. So it was a good thing, you know. It made me mature much faster, but I also kind of, you know, broadened my horizons, you know, like, you know.
A citizen of the world.
Yeah, like when you go back home after that, you feel like, oh, you realize how small it is where you are, but at the same time, you appreciate it for other things.
Absolutely, yeah. There were quite big shoes to fill when you ended up with Ozzy, right?
Yeah.
With Jake Lee and Zach Wilde and Randy Rhoads.
To be honest, I never found any shoes of theirs to fit it, so I don't know how big they were. So.
Were you ever like nervous and you know?
I think anybody would be.
Yeah.
Really. I mean,
it's freaking Ozzy there next to me.
and I mean, it's so much history there, and it's such a spotlight for anybody to just play guitar next to that guy. I was nervous, but at the same time, I also had a certain attitude like, hey, you know, this is your chance now. You know, go out there and. What's the worst thing that can happen? People are going to hate you. Okay, so, but, you know, at least more people are going to hear about me. So, and I'm going to get to play with Ozzy. And this is, this is one, so once in a lifetime opportunity.
Mm-hmm. How much artistic freedom did you get? Did he allow you to do your own thing, or did he want you to play the songs correctly?
Well, originally my approach was to play stuff as close to the originals as possible. That was also
that's what the fans want to hear.
That's what I thought as a fan myself. Yeah. So we never really discussed it. I just knew that he liked what I was doing from the get-go. I never deviated much from the originals. You know, I tried to go for that sound, whether we were playing a Zakk Wylde era song or a Randy Rhoads era song, or it was a Black Sabbath song for that matter. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you have your sound and your guitar and your gear, and everything is gonna sound like you. But you know, you try to play those notes as close as possible. You know.
Were there ever one song that you really enjoyed playing? That's like, yeah, this one.
Oh yeah, I loved the opening of the shows with Bark at the Moon. Always.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm an 80s kid, so I love it. Yeah.
And what a great song that is. I mean, you are a string wizard. Ooh. You're definitely among, you know, the tops.
Let's just say I'm the best guitar player in this
in the
room
world.
Right now.
Definitely.
In this bus. Because I can't play.
So Erica can't play.
But definitely, you have that speed, you have the technique.
The tone.
Yeah. That takes a lot of practice. And I know from experience, because I grew up, I was almost a neighbor to Yngwie Malmsteen. I know how much he practiced to get there, and
just by coincidence, we were married.
Ex-wife.
So I heard him practice as well.
You heard him practice,
but when he met you, he could play.
And now he can.
I heard him when he couldn't play. Did you spend your whole teen years just playing?
More or less. Yeah, it sounds very familiar what you're saying, because I remember when I was in high school. All I did was my day was for I was in school, or when I was not in school, I was just locked in my room trying to figure out stuff and practicing, and you know, for my favorite guitar players, Yngwie being one of them actually. So, you know, it was like that for a number of years for me, to a point where my father thought there was something wrong. He's like, son, you don't go out with girls. All the other guys in your class go out. What's the matter with you? I don't know, nothing. It's just like, you know, I just got to figure out how to play a trilogy or something. But, you know, soon enough, thankfully, I had this scholarship for Berklee College of Music when I was 16. And then, he really got it. He's like, okay, you're a natural, and this is what you need to do. This is the mission. So, you know, I was lucky. I had very supportive parents, you know.
And hopefully you got laid later on tour.
I did, yeah.
Good for you.
Actually, my first girl was in Sweden. Was a Swedish one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
pretty
classic.
Yeah, yeah. But I was also a late bloomer when it came to that.
I had the guitar.
She was my girl. You know?
What was your approach to your solo album? Now, what did you want to accomplish?
Well, the idea with the solo record was to really define what Gus G sounds like as a solo artist, because the first two records that I did with collaborations with different artists, like different singers or producers or songwriters, a lot of people. But this one is actually a trio, power trio lineup setup. So yeah, it's just like we were going for a cohesive type of sound, a certain flow throughout the record. That was the main goal, really. To just develop my sound. You know, it takes a while until you find your sound. Even though, I mean, I have my style and stuff, you know, being a solo artist is still a new thing for me.
How would you describe the contemporary sound of metal? What is defining metal in the late 2010s?
Well, actually, metal has a lot of branches right now. That's what I'm figuring out. I mean, obviously, there's still like a lot of the classic sounds there, but you have, I mean, there's so many different, what's the word? Mashups, like you have you know, the folk metal bands, then you have like, of course, the power metal bands or the symphonic metal, or you got, I don't know, obviously the metalcore bands and then the younger scene, you know, and I don't know, it's just like a big melting pot right now in heavy metal. So I think that's good, that's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is, for sure.
Yeah.
So give us a great Ozzy moment, because we all saw the TV show. We all know what he's up to. We need a
great Ozzy moment.
A great story.
You know, he wasn't as crazy as people think it was when I joined the band, at least in my time with him, because he was away from all the bad stuff. So he was just drinking tea, sharing stories. But I mean, he's still a funny guy.
Oh, he could be a comedian.
He could have been a stand-up comedian.
Absolutely.
No problem.
Yeah.
Some of the funniest interviews I've done with him.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know what was it with him. I remember one time, I think we were up here in Finland, and it was like, I saw him on the next day's flight. He came in and he was like, I couldn't sleep last night, man. I couldn't sleep. I'm like, what happened? He said, well, I get up and I look at the clock and it's like 9:15 a.m. I'm like, oh, fuck. So he gets up. He says, I take a shower, you know, pack my bags and stuff, sitting there. And then he said, I pull the curtain and it's like pitch black outside. And then he's like, what the fuck is going on? So apparently he had put his watch upside down. It was 3:15 a.m. That's so typical.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm like, so you poor guy, man. You've been up since 3 a.m. He's like, yeah, I couldn't go back to sleep after that. There you go.
That's amazing. Wonderful.
Okay, we're closing in on 15 minutes here, which is our time limit because you are off to the stage.
I'm about to go.
And we always finish off with the cheesy song or the cringe song. It's a song that you like, but you possibly wouldn't tell your friends you like.
Oh, wow.
So just let's tell our 200,000 listeners instead.
You won't tell anybody, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Could it be anything, really?
Any type of music that maybe your fans
will be surprised to discuss like that. Really?
Oh, wow. Well, actually, I'm a big fan of The Doors. And obviously, that's nothing to be ashamed of because they're an amazing band. But a lot of people probably wouldn't expect that I would like a band like The Doors. Mm-hmm. And I love them. So,
Song in particular?
Wow.
The End.
Yeah, The End. I don't know. Play whatever you like. I don't know. What's a good Doors song? I mean, there's so many good ones.
Come on, baby. Like my
Not that one. Come on, not that one. Not that one. Right, let's play
L.A. Woman.
L.A. Woman is a good one.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's play L.A. Woman. Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Best of luck with everything.
Taxo miket.
Woo!
And we'll finish off with some words of wisdom.
Bottoms up.
Friendship. It's like peeing in your pants. Everybody can see it, but only you can feel its warmth.
Oh, my God.
Did you come up with that yourself?
Absolutely, right now.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
And bottoms rock.
Yep.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.